This is the It Ain't It Sis podcast, a podcast where we focus on life's pivots and redirections, relationships, and becoming a boss babe. I'm your host, Sarah Whitney, and this is a space where honesty, humor, and a whole lot of sass collide. No one has it figured out. So it's completely fine if sometimes it ain't it, sis. Welcome back to another episode of the It Ain't It Sis podcast. I'm Sarah Whitney, your host. And if you are new here, welcome. I'm so excited to have you. And you are all in for a treat today. I sat down with Amanda DeMarco from the Just Mans podcast. She is a blogger, content creator, mom, and honestly, 10 out of 10 badass woman. I am obsessed with her vibe. Like, guys, right now, go over to her Instagram account and oh my gosh, I am just in love with it. Like, I am in love with her, just all of the things. And today we talk about what it's like being a young mom. I believe she's 23 years old. Don't quote me on that, but maybe 23, 24 years old. So my age. And she just graduated college. And she, like I said, she's a young mom and she's a blogger. And she is just a very passionate person about health and wellness and all things motherhood. And I am so excited for this episode specifically because I've never specifically brought on someone to talk about motherhood. So I loved her take on it. And specifically in this episode, we talk about being a young mom and what's that like, and self-care and how to prioritize yourself when you all of a sudden have a new little one that is always constantly with you. And it's interesting also to get her take on this because as a 23-year-old woman, I'm very focused on entrepreneurship and she is too, but she's also a mother. So I can barely handle my own shit, to be honest. And she is handling what it seems like everything very, very well. So I loved her take on it. And we also talk about relationships and dating. She is dating her longtime boyfriend and what it was like kind of giving birth in a pandemic. Like, that just seems so stressful. I know a few people who gave birth during a pandemic and, you know, God bless all of you. Like, yeah, no. Hopefully no one ever has to do that again. But I'm really excited for you guys to listen to this episode. But before we get into it, I am going to do my weekly segment of what was not it for me this week. And let me just tell you guys, this has been honestly a rough past 2 months, just in terms of grind and having to move back home. And it is currently March 8th right now. And my first manuscript of my book, which, side note, I will be coming out with a new episode, I believe, next week, all about how to write a book and my process throughout that. But my first manuscript was due on March 5th, so last Friday. And that was just a shit show and a half getting that all done. It was stressful. I had to film a promo video. I don't really like how I sound or look, but that's why I like podcasting, honestly. Like, none of you have to see how I look right now. No makeup on. I'm still in my workout clothes from 5 hours earlier today. It's just like I'm looking like a hot mess, but I'm loving it at the same time. And I had to film a promo video and not really sure how that's going to turn out. I sent it over to the editor. And on top of finishing my book and doing work and the whole nine yards, I have been spending so much time alone. Like, I need to emphasize just the amount of time because it's just insane. And I'm an extreme extrovert. Like, I love talking to people. I lived with like 4 to 5 people for the past 4 years consecutively. And then going from like that extreme of living with so many people to going home in Arizona, I know one person in the state. I mean, my best friend does live in the state, so it's great, but she moved about 40 minutes away from me, or like 30 to 40 minutes away. And so she's also a full-time grad school student. So it's just like hard coordinating times to see each other. And, you know, I'm with my parents, and with all of this time, I've been in my head a lot. And, you know, in a way it's good because I think I can finally heal from like just some past traumas, not to be all like sad about that. But, you know, I realized I have a lot of unresolved issues that I was essentially not dealing with because I was constantly stimulated. Like, even during the pandemic, like, obviously we're still in the pandemic, but in the depths of Corona, like, I was still around so many people in a sense because I had all of my roommates and, you know, they had all boyfriends. So, you know, I would hang out with those, like, five or six people consecutively. So that's like a good amount of people, especially during a pandemic, to have around you. And, you know, now I'm literally around no one besides like my mom. And I love my mom and I love my dad. But, you know, I like having people my own age too. So I think, therefore, I have been spending a little bit too much time alone. I've been very much in my head. And currently, I'm struggling, I'm going to be honest, with really intense anxiety. It's the kind of anxiety that like wakes you up in the middle of the night and kind of like you have chest pains and stuff like that just constantly. And, you know, part of that is realizing just that I'm so in my head, and my anxiety tends to be a very physical experience as well. I'm not sure how everyone else experiences it, but that's my personal experience. And so, therefore, long story short, I'm going back to therapy. That was like a really long intro to like what I'm doing with my life right now. But I'm going back to therapy and I'm so excited to finally talk to another human and not just be in my head. And like, I just need someone to tell me that I'm not crazy. And I know I'm not crazy, but sometimes I just feel like all of these problems like just like zoom around in my head, and it's just, it's not good. So I need to talk about it with someone and I need to solve some issues. And I'd be more than happy to also make a podcast episode about mental health. I'm actually going to do that, and specifically mental health when you're living with your parents post-grad or just in general. I think most people who listen to my podcast, from what I see statistically, they are about 18 to 27. So for any of those who live with their parents or who have or who might have to move back, like, I want to make an episode for you guys because it is a time. It is definitely a time. But that is a little update on where I am mental health wise. I am definitely in a waiting period of my life. And you know what? This is a really, to be honest, hard period of my life. But I know that there's going to be like a shining light at the end of the tunnel. I'm just not there at the end of the tunnel yet. So sometimes you do have to kind of walk through the trenches in order to get to the other side. I'm just currently walking through the trenches, and that's okay. And it's okay that I'm not like okay. So I'm not absolutely terrible, but you know, I'm definitely not fabulous. So that's just a little bit of an update about where I am at mentally and what's not it for me. This whole being sad girl moment is like not it for me, but I wanted to keep it real because this is what I'm going through in my life, and it's difficult and it's not fun, but maybe one of you guys can relate because life sometimes just fucking sucks, and that's okay. But I mean, I don't want to make this an entirely sad segment. One positive in my life is that this is like very small, but Arizona is hot, everyone. It is currently March 8th and it is 80 degrees outside, and I am tanning and I'm starting to get my tan back. Hot girl summer, better watch out. And I am overall just excited that I finally live in a state where it is hot for most of the time, and I need to like not get so excited because I am still planning on moving to New York soon. So I'm going to soak in the sun while I can, get that vitamin D, get that glow before I become an albino again when I move to New York. So that's just a little bit of a life update on my end. But other than that, I'm so excited for you guys to listen to what Amanda has to say. She honestly is just like a fucking badass. Love this girl. And let's get into the episode. Well, everyone, I'm so excited to have Amanda DeMarco on the podcast today. She goes by Just Mans on occasion. But, you know, this girl, she is like a little ray of sunshine. So thank you so much for, you know, coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. And everyone listening, you have to go check out the interview I did with Sarah on my podcast because she is also a ray of sunshine and it was really awesome to talk to her. So thank you for that little intro. I've never been called a ray of sunshine and I love it.
Well, hey, I figured, you know, currently you're in Colorado and, you know, they say that's, I mean, I think Florida is actually the sunshine state, but you're from Florida and now you're living in Colorado, which I know gets a lot of sun. So
we get like 360 days of sunshine in Colorado, which is crazy because they call Florida the sunshine state, but it rains so much over there. So I don't understand the title really, but we're loving the sunny days over here in Denver.
I know, low key, I want to come visit. So maybe next time I'm in Denver, then we can meet up finally.
Let me know. We can record another podcast in person.
I know. What a dream, you know, post pandemic. Seriously. So over it. But I'd love it if you could, I guess, just introduce yourself. Let us know, you know, what you're all about and all of that jazz.
Yeah. So my name is Amanda DeMarco, like you said, and I have a blog, which is justmans.com. I have a podcast, which is Just Mans the Podcast. I have my Instagram, which is @justmans. Pretty much everywhere you can find me is Just Mans, but I started my blog in 2015. And I was just telling Sarah that my boyfriend actually created the name and he will always let you know that he created the name Just Mans. We started dating when we were 16 years old and then broke up for a year, but have been together ever since. And I have a 4-month-old son named Lennox, which is just the best thing that's ever happened to me, even though he was unplanned. But yeah, my blog has been around since I was 16 years old, so 2015. And I started my podcast in March of 2020, so a few months after you started yours, I believe, Sarah. Mm-hmm. And I talk about womanhood, wellness, and self-growth over there, amongst a lot of other things. I also talk about relationships and love and long distance, and I bring my boyfriend on, and I interview people over there, but I'm just super into wellness and self-growth and learning everything that we can on this earth.
I know. I absolutely love that, and I mean, like Amanda said earlier, we are doing like a little podcast swap. So you all should definitely go over to hers and listen to that episode. But I mean, we talk about on that episode about, you know, why I'm writing a book. And I think like wellness and, you know, mental health is so important. I love that you're doing that on your blog, because I think so many people at our age, you know, they are afraid to talk about it, or they feel like they don't have much to say. And the fact is, you know, we have so much to say. It's just, are you willing to go out and say it? So I mean, I'd love for you to, I guess, just talk a little bit more about why you decided to, you know, start a blog, especially at 15, because I feel like that's pretty young to, you know, get into that.
Yeah, well, I think I kept so many journals and I was like, I need a place for this to live that's not just like littered on my floor. So I was like, I need to start a blog because I grew up just glued to the computer. Like, I went outside and had fun and had friends and stuff like that, but I really loved creating on the computer. Like, I don't know if you remember, there was that, what did they even call it back then? Like, application on the computer of where you could paint and draw.
Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about, but I think this was actually before like Mac was.
It was, absolutely.
Yes, yeah. It was on my big old
PC computer, yeah.
Yes, like that was huge and felt like it weighed 1,000 pounds. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I used to always be on the computer doing that. I would write like books on Word. I would be playing all of the Disney Channel games on the computer. Like, I loved the computer.
Same. Barbie.com was my shit.
Yep. Yep. And I just loved like being creative on the computer. And so once I found out about blogs, I was like, I love to write. I have so many journals. Why not put it out there? And I also have always been a chronic oversharer. Like, I cannot lie.
Same.
For shit. Can I curse on here?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I cannot lie for anything. And I find that the truth is often the most interesting as well. So I just like to be honest and open and transparent. So I was like, why not put like my journal, my thoughts, my most intimate details on the internet? Like, right? Everybody wants to do that. And so I just did it. And I remember it was called, like, I think I just called it myname.com there back then. But then my boyfriend obviously created Just Mans. Have to give credit where credit's due. But yeah, I loved it. It started off as a fashion blog. And I think I just really got into it because I went to a private school growing up in high school, but I also had a lot of friends in club sports that went to public schools. And so I was well known in the community also because my dad, he plays professional golf, so he was well known in the community. But I think I was a little bit more like, this sounds very like, I was mysterious, but like, no, I was like, people just didn't know me for like me. They kind of just knew who I was. So I felt like I wanted to have a presence online so that people who knew who I was could actually like know who I was. Does that make sense?
No, that makes complete sense. I feel the exact same way as you do about that.
Yeah. So I was like, I need to put something out there where like people can know what I'm thinking and know like really who I am. And I just love, ever since the social media and the internet came about, I love the idea of connecting because I, like you mentioned on my podcast, like you love to talk and I love to talk as well. And I love to connect with people. And so once I was able to connect with people through the computer, I was like, sold, I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. And I like you were saying, like you wanted people to see the real you. I've been doing like a lot of research and, you know, personally, like I've done a lot of like work within myself and a lot of women are kind of dealing with this idea of not feeling seen. And I love the fact that you were able to kind of like recognize that at such a young age and be like, no, like I want people to see me a certain way, because obviously like in life, we all perceive people to be certain versions of themselves when in reality, like that's so not true. So like, I love the fact that you're able to like dive deep into that. And I'm curious, like what is like one of your most vulnerable posts that you've ever done?
Oh, so there are a lot because vulnerability is kind of like my favorite thing to share. The first one that comes to mind is probably the blog post that I wrote that still I think to this date has the most reads, and it's about orgasms for women. And I think it's probably my most vulnerable one because I talk about like my sex life, and now I talk about my sex life a lot on my podcast and just like in general. But I think it was like the first one that I did where I was like, hey, I have sex and I have orgasms. And people were like, whoa, I knew that, but like, I didn't know that, you know? And especially because my family like loves, my brother and my dad like love to follow me and like read my stuff. But then they also love to be like, oh, like, whoa, why did you talk about that? Why didn't you like, you know, why did you make that public? And I'm like, well, you know, you don't have to follow me or read my shit or like listen to my podcast. But I think it was the most vulnerable because women are very much sexualized, but they also aren't encouraged to talk about sex. And
like a whole nother, like that could be a whole, you know, topic in itself.
Oh yeah. And that's why like a lot of people are like, call our daddy so raunchy and I don't know, it's not my style. And to be honest, it's not my style either, but I also will never say a bad fucking word about that podcast because I love that she's doing that for women, you know, because I think there needs to be a space for women who like to talk about sex and who are sexual without being sexualized, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's why I love, one of my favorite podcasts is Girls Gotta Eat.
And I love them. That's what got me into podcasting. Yeah.
Well, they're so funny. But like, you know, they talk about, you know, sex, and they are, I think, 2 30-year-old, like in their mid-30s. And, you know, they talk about things that a lot of women deem as like taboo. They talk about like masturbation and like porn and like all of that stuff. And like to each their own on like each topics. But the point is that they're talking about it, where a lot of people, like they say, secrets grow in the dark, and a lot of things like sex, like a lot of shame is attached to that. And I think it's really important, like whatever you believe about different things, like it's important to at least talk about it, especially as women.
100%. I totally agree. And I'm just going back on like the vulnerability thing. I think another one of my other most vulnerable posts was probably my pregnancy announcement, just because it was an unplanned pregnancy. And I've never been the person to like give a shit about what people think, especially online, just because I know trolls exist and people are very bold behind a computer. But that was definitely probably one of the only moments in my life where I was like, oh shit, people are going to have opinions about this. And that was very vulnerable for me because, I mean, a lot of people have a really negative connotation with unplanned pregnancies. And don't get me wrong, there are some circumstances where unplanned pregnancies aren't the best situations. But I was very thankful that I was in a loving relationship who I wanted to have a family with in the future. It just came a little early. Mm-hmm. So I think that was probably one of my biggest vulnerability moments for sure.
Especially after college, like a lot of people on people's minds are, okay, like what am I going to do for, you know, work? And, you know, it's very career focused. And I mean, I'm assuming that you had to definitely, you know, shift all of your focus onto, okay, wait, I need to like bring a kid into this world. And what was like going through your mind though, when you first found out that you were pregnant? Like, obviously you said that it was unplanned, but you know, I'm also 23 and I know you are too. And I mean, that was probably a shock, like a big shock to you.
It is so funny because I have a girlfriend who also had a baby like 5 days after I had Lennox. She's one of my friend's friends who we just connected because we both were pregnant unexpectedly. And she's 25, I think. And she was saying like, when I saw the two pink lines, she was like, it was crazy to go through my head about like, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant, because we're at the age where like, it's acceptable for us to have babies. Like we can probably make it work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like anything before that, when we would take pregnancy tests, we're like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. You know, like you have pregnancy scares, but now we're kind of at the age where like, well, I could have the baby and it could be okay, you know? So what was going through my head was, this isn't real. This isn't real. This isn't real. I literally like stared in the mirror and I was like, this is not real. And I just really could not process anything other than like, holy shit, there's a baby inside of me. And as soon as I saw the test, I like ran to my bedroom floor and collapsed and FaceTimed my boyfriend because he was in Pensacola, Florida at the time for college. And as soon as he picked up the phone, he knew. He was just like, because he saw me and I was so distraught. And he was like, oh my gosh. And it's crazy. There were so many things that were going through my head, like just so many things. But I think at the same time of complete and utter shock, it was such clear certainty as well in that moment that I was having that baby. And
yeah,
it's funny because the next few weeks that followed, I was actually really grappling with like, do I keep this baby or do I go the abortion route? And it's interesting to me now looking back, because as soon as I saw the test results, like that very moment, I knew I was keeping the baby. But then as I was processing it more, that's when the confusion set in and like my options set in. And it's just crazy how much goes through your head when you see the two pink lines.
Yeah. And I cannot imagine, and maybe I can't imagine it even more since I am not in like a long-term relationship. So I, you know, as being like a single woman, and if I were to experience that, I think, you know, I would lose it for a hot minute. But, you know, going back to when you said like the moment you saw those two pink lines and you're like, I knew for a moment that, you know, you were going to have the baby. And then those weeks that, you know, followed, then you're kind of like grappling with this idea. Oh, like, what should I do? Like, it's funny because, you know, in the moment what you're going to do. And, you know, like we talked about this on your podcast, like, you know, deep down, it's just like a lot of these like external factors like cloud your mind sometimes, but you just kind of have to like push those away and like go with your gut instinct.
And I'm the first person to be like, you know, it's your choice because this is your life at the end of the day and no one can tell you what to do. But I will say I was very shocked and a little disgusted with the externalities that were showing themselves to me when I became pregnant. And I hid my pregnancy for 5 months from like the general public. So I'm not talking about people on social media or friends, really. I'm just kind of talking about like I went to Planned Parenthood and the narrative surrounding pregnancies that I was reading on social media of other people. Like, I was a little disgusted because I felt like within pro-choice, there's a lot more support for the choice to have an abortion than there is to choose to have the baby at a young age. Mm-hmm. And I was a little just frustrated because I was like, I know deep down, like you were saying, that I want this baby, but I'm being clouded by a lot of the externalities of like, well, you know, you're young and you can have an abortion. And if you want your career and all that, and like, I'm never going to say like, don't get an abortion, or like you can't do both, because like I'm sitting here and I'm doing a podcast and I'm, you know, working and mm-hmm. having a baby. But like, yeah, I really felt the externalities of abortion really hard. And again, that's not to say that there's anything wrong with it. I just knew that that's not what I wanted. And that was something that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, was the fact that I was seeing a lot more support on that aspect rather than me like choosing to have a baby.
Yeah, no. And I'm glad you like mentioned that too, because like I also am pro-choice, but I think a lot of times like pro-choice means like you can also have the baby if you want. And like, you know, giving birth and like becoming a mom is such a beautiful thing. But I think sometimes like it's stigmatized to just abortion. And like pro-choice is like so much more, encompasses so much more. Like Planned Parenthood, like they have amazing services for STDs. Like that's actually a majority of what they do. And, you know, I've gone to Planned Parenthood before to get like an STD test. Like it's amazing. And I think like a lot of times people make it one extreme or the other, when in reality, like you said, like, you know, it is hard, but you can still be a mom and a young mom at that, and like still be working. So like you're killing the game, like you're a podcaster and you have your own blog and you're able to like, you know, talk about these things, which is so important.
Thank you for that. And I do totally agree with you about Planned Parenthood, because I was like 6-7 weeks when I found out I was pregnant, and most OBGYN places won't take you until you're at least 10 weeks to like get ultrasounds. But I was like, I need to see what the fuck is inside of me. Like, I need to go now. Like, I need to go. I was like, I need to get answers. I need to go. So I went to Planned Parenthood, and I remember my friend who's like super Catholic and was kind of just like warning me about Planned Parenthood, because she's obviously pro-life, but she was warning me about it because she's like, you know, a lot of women go there for abortions and like that's what they're used to. And so again, I'm not like shitting on Planned Parenthood, because again, a lot of the women who go to Planned Parenthood who are pregnant, they do want to seek out abortions. So when I went, I think it was just a little like they were a little thrown off, because I got an ultrasound and she seemed like a little timid on like how to approach, like, yeah, you're pregnant, but like, is it a celebration? Is it something that you want to talk about your options with? Like, it's a hard thing for even those people who are working there to really tackle in terms of a situation. So again, I'm not going to like shit on Planned Parenthood or like shit on anybody's choice or whatever. But I do think that, like you were saying, we need to change the narrative of pro-choice to really allow space for the choice to have the baby as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree. And like, that's why I absolutely love what you're doing, is because you are like trying to change that narrative and like tell people like, no, this is the real me and this is like what I'm doing. And, you know, I have a lot on my plate. And obviously you do have a lot on your plate. Your baby is 4 months old. And I'm curious, like, how have your priorities changed since, you know, you gave birth to baby Lennox?
I will say I had a really good time, because I had a really good baby. Like I think for the first 3 months, I will say, of his life, was very lucky. Like my baby slept, my baby ate, my baby entertained himself. Like he was a very easy baby. He was flexible. He could go with the flow. That all changed when he was 4 months old and he like started sleeping different and was like, I have a personality now. Like, please be with me 24/7. So that's changed. But I will say in the beginning, it was pretty, not like easy, but it was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be to kind of really make a schedule for myself and find time for me and find time for my podcast and work around him. I feel like now that he is getting more of a personality and he has more wants, more needs, he's more curious, it's harder to get shit done. But I mean, obviously my first priority is him. However, I've always been of the standpoint, like if I'm not filling my cup, I can't fill other people's cups. And that goes for anybody, not even if you're a mom with your kids. But like for me, I knew when I became a mom that I always wanted to prioritize myself. And that sounds like a lot different than a lot of the way that moms think, but like I always am going to prioritize myself. So like if I hear Lennox in the morning and he's waking up and he's crying, like I can see him obviously on my monitor and I know he's okay. I'm going to go fill my glass of water up so that I can like be hydrated and like take a second before I go and be with him. Or like I'm going to wash my face and brush my teeth before I go and be with him. Like I really am for taking care of yourself so that you can take care of your baby and do it in the best way that you can. I would say in terms of work priorities, I've definitely noticed it's harder to get things done. And there are days where like instead of being done by 5 p.m. and like logging off my computer and logging off social media, I do have to utilize the time that he goes to sleep around 6:30, 7. I am having to be on the computer from like 7 to 8:30 sometimes because I just wasn't able to get enough done during the day. So again, like I would love to log off and be off of social media and my work by 5, but sometimes that doesn't always happen because I'm learning that I have to prioritize him when he's awake and be with him. And then when he naps or he sleeps, like I gotta hustle and get my shit done. And I think it's hard to do that living in a world of social media and the internet and just so many distractions, like to really sit down and just get your shit done. Like I'm very much working on that, but I think I've learned that time management is something that you really, really have to prioritize in your life.
And I love the fact that you mentioned that you have to be the one to fill up your cup before you, you know, focus on others. And I'm not sure if you've read it, but it's one of literally my favorite books of all time. It's Untamed by Glennon Doyle.
No, and
yeah, I think you would absolutely love it. But she is also a mother and she talks about, you know, as women, we were taught that we have to be martyrs for our children rather than models for our children. So that's like something, you know, I've seen in my own life with just the women I'm surrounded by. And a lot of them, you know, they focus more on their children rather than themselves. But I'm a firm believer that, you know, in order to, you know, keep the ship afloat, as they say, you know, you have to really pour into yourselves because that's when you see, you know, the woman at the end of their life where they're having like that kind of midlife crisis when they're 50 and the kids are out of the house and they're like, I don't know who I am. And it's because they've spent so many years of their life literally just pouring all of themselves into these children, which let me just say is a beautiful thing. But also at the end of the day, you have to like take a step back and be like, wait, who am I? And like, why did I do this? Did I do it for them? Did I do it for me? Like, what is the purpose? And like, that's why you have that midlife crisis. So I love the fact that, you know, you're able to like recognize that, especially like as a young mom.
And I will say, like, I 1000% agree with you. And that quote that you just said of women being told that they're martyrs for their children and not models, like, really gave me chills because I totally am of the camp that I want to be a model for my son. But I totally think that there are so many different ways to be a mom. And like, if your child is your whole world, and let me just say, they will be your whole world, regardless if you prioritize yourself and your career in whatever or not, like they are your whole world. But like, I will say there are some moms who like totally want to be like that quote unquote martyr for their kid. And that's totally fine. But like you said, that's why a lot of women see themselves at 50, 55, 60 years old being like, well, what do I do now? It's because they never really tended to their own needs, their own hobbies, their own interests. But like, I totally want my son to look at me and be like, wow, my mom is very independent. And wow, my mom goes after what she wants. And wow, my mom really takes interest in other people and conversates with people. And look at the way she's doing this. And look at the way she prioritizes her time and makes time for herself. Like I sometimes will do like breath work with Lennox, or I'll talk about like, what are you grateful for? Or like, what's your intention for the day? Even though he can't fucking speak. Like, I know he can't speak, but like, I want to like set up good habits like that for him. So he knows, was like, mommy takes time for self-care, and like I will too. And at the end of the day, I'm trying to make him an independent person so that he can go out into the world and not be shit scared without me, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important. And I love the fact, I'm just like imagining it in my, like my head, you doing breath work with a 4-month old. Yeah. I think that's so adorable. And I absolutely just like love the fact that you're like doing that and everything. And like, I'm curious in terms of like self-care, like how has your like regime kind of changed? Like, does your, I'm sure like your morning routine probably looks like a world away from how it used to and all of that. And so like, what's that look like for you now?
I've learned since having Lennox that it doesn't necessarily have to be the whole routine of self-care. It can just be a few moments. So if that means, you know, you just got your kid down for a nap and like you have 50 million things on your to-do list, if that means like stepping outside on the balcony for 2 seconds and literally doing like 3 deep breaths, like then that's what I call my self-care. Or in terms of like morning routine, the way that mine's changed is obviously like I'm not just waking up to an alarm clock now. I'm waking up to my son crying, being like, mom, I'm hungry, get me up. So in the morning, I really prioritize not being on my phone. Like, I think that's mm-hmm. been very helpful, because in the beginning of Lennox's life, I was in the habit of just like looking at my phone and getting to work right away. So I would look at my phone, I'd be looking at social media, and that just completely jumbles my mind. And I feel like when you have a child, you have 20 million things going on in your head, especially if you're a working mom. You have 20 million things going on in your head. So if you can minimize like the amount of things that are going on in your head in the morning, I think it sets you up for a better day. So for me, I wake up and I wash my face and I brush my teeth and I fill up my water and then I go get him and then I feed him. I spend some time with him. And I, for that first like hour and 40 minutes when he's awake before his first nap, I just hang out with him. I don't go on my phone. I make my breakfast. I put some music on. Like, we'll sit there, we'll stretch, we'll talk to each other. Well, I talk to him, but I really just spend time with him and I don't go on my phone. And I've found that's really, really helped. And I also take the time to like look over my planner and kind of schedule out my tasks for the day and do like a to-do list, because I think that just helps before I look on any kind of social media or emails or anything. And then I really utilize like his nap times to work and get things done. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like self-care throughout the day, I really think like taking moments to breathe is really important. And something that I've been really neglecting that I really need to get back into is making time to be outside. Mm-hmm. I think in quarantine, a lot of us were stuck, especially if you lived in a place that snows like Colorado, like we were stuck inside more often than we'd like to because of the weather, because it was snowing. So I think now that the weather's finally getting nice, like I really want to take the time to get outside in the morning or get outside whenever I can and just like breathe in the fresh air, because it really does do wonders for your mental health. So I think definitely like taking time to get outside is something that I need to do more of. But I also have been really loving baths and journaling. Mm-hmm. And last night I was actually taking a bath and I was thinking the thing that I really want to do more of is like disconnect, because I think, you know, being a podcast manager and just like working and working from home, like we are so inundated with technology in our day and age, and especially being working from home people. And so I really am trying to take the time to disconnect. So that's why I love having my mornings where I don't do technology. And then I'm working on the nighttime being no technology as well. But like, it's hard because at the same time, I love watching reality TV, or like I love going on Shut the Kale Up's Instagram and looking at her stories. I love going and like looking at Skinny Confidential. I love looking at Instagram stories. So when he's asleep, like that's my time to do me time. And sometimes it does look like going on social media, but I'm working on disconnecting because I think that's something that I really want to get better at.
Yeah, no, I'm like a big advocate for, you know, no technology, at least for the first 30 minutes for me. Like I think I mentioned this in your podcast, but like I'm a big morning routine girl. And so, you know, that's like my time where I try to like focus in on like just journaling and like spending time in my thoughts rather than like waiting for like the world, as they say, to like just like come at you full like speed. And so I'm a full advocate for that. And, you know, I'm curious, you also said that, you know, you spend a lot of time when Lennox is napping, you write down like to-do lists and stuff like that. So I'm curious, blogging is your full-time job. So how, I guess, has blogging fit into your life? Obviously, it's so great. You work for yourself. Is that, I would love to kind of like hear about how, you know, a lot of people say, oh, blogging is just like a side hustle and all of that. I want to like hear about like the nitty-gritty of it, like working it full-time.
Yeah. So I would say in terms of my blog, that's not necessarily like my full-time thing. I would say right now, Instagram's definitely my full-time thing. I would probably like, it's so funny because my boyfriend used to work at a restaurant and he would like, he's like the king of pimping me out. Like he loves to be like, my girl's got a podcast, like listen to her, like here's her business card. Like he loves that. And I'm so thankful I have.
I love that.
But he would always be like, what do I call you? Like, what do I tell people that you do? And so basically what I say is like, I'm a podcaster and I'm a blogger and I'm building a lifestyle brand. And that's basically like what it comes down to. I would say like the blogging world is really, really hard to make money, just in my experience. And I think that rings true for a lot of bloggers, but I will say like, especially in today's day and age, because no one wants to sit there and read a 5-minute blog post when they could be watching like a 30-second TikTok video. Mm-hmm. So I think our attention spans have gotten a lot
smaller. Which is unfortunate.
Totally. And that's why I love that you're writing a book, because I think book and like long form things are so special, and I love them, but a lot of people like don't take the time to really sit down and read them. So that's why I love that you're doing that. Yeah. So I will say like blogging is really hard right now to make money, because a lot of people want quick. They want the quick read. They want the quick watch. They want all of the things quick and short form. So right now I'm definitely building more on Instagram and getting more like paid partnerships and sponsorships on Instagram, as well as TikTok. So I had a TikTok video go like viral in November. It has like 14 million views.
And, oh, really? I love that.
And I will say I'm kind of pissed off, because I've been putting myself out there for like 5 years. And of course the one that goes viral is the one where my boyfriend's the star of the show. So I am pretty pissed about that, but
he's probably loving that.
No, he loves it. He loves it. He's like, I'm famous. And I'm like, you're not though. But I will say, since having that go quote unquote viral, I've gained like 110,000 followers on TikTok.
So
I'm trying to capitalize on that. And I've gotten a lot of people reach out to me in terms of collaborations on TikTok. So like getting paid for TikTok videos, and then then the Instagram thing, and then the podcasting. I've done like a few advertisements for companies for my podcast. I find that a little hard though, because I find, and I don't know if you've had the same experience, I'm finding that a lot of people are really hanging on to the pandemic excuse of not having a budget to pay their influencers.
Yeah. I mean, I find, at least for podcasting, I think it's more easy to get sponsorships on Instagram than it is on podcasts. Maybe it's because I want to say it's like a newer thing, but it really isn't that new. I think a lot of people who, you know, have the budget to help sponsor a podcast, of what I'm seeing at least is, you know, they're going to give it to, unfortunately, you know, the bigger people, like we were mentioning Girls Gotta Eat or Almost 30 podcast, which, you know, is unfortunate, but that's what I'm finding personally.
Yeah. And I think it has to do with listenership too. Like, I think a lot of people in terms of brands and companies aren't willing to outsource any kind of marketing or budget towards podcasts because they're concerned with listenership. And a lot of these people don't even listen to podcasts themselves who are in these big companies and brands. So I think, to your point, it is a newer way of marketing and getting your brand out there. But yeah, I think Instagram is the way to go right now. And I think TikTok is even more of the way to go right now in terms of like trying to make money and hustle. But I'm super thankful that like my parents have been so generous and like still understand that like if I didn't have a kid, I'd probably still be on their payroll. So they've been very generous with like helping us out with like gas money and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I also, my boyfriend just got a really great job. It's a corporate job, but he also was serving tables, which I think is a very underrated career. Like
Used to do that, and I made so much money in tips.
He used to make way more money doing that than he is now in his entry level sales job, but like he's trying to like build his career, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I mean, yeah, I think that's such an underrated career, is like being a server in the service industry. Like, you can make bank. So I'm very lucky that like I've had the space to be a mom as well as like try and build my brand while being supported by like my boyfriend and my parents helping out. So I think I'm very lucky in that sense. And I do recognize that's not like the case for everybody. So I think in a way, like it would be very different if I wasn't in this situation, because I think I'd probably have to hustle harder on social media and things like that. But I'm trying to do it in a slow way, because I don't know, I think there's a lot of like, I think there's still a lot of stigma around the influencing world, where like brands and companies try to take advantage of influencers because they're like, well, maybe this isn't their full-time thing. Maybe they do have like other sources of income, so we don't have to pay them for it. Like, we can just do a product swap, where it's like, no, like I'm working really hard, and I'm sure you can attest to this. Like, I'm spending a lot of time on this TikTok video, or I'm spending a lot of time in this blog post or Instagram and planning out this content for you. Like, I need to be paid for my time. And
exactly,
I've had to literally turn down like 5 collaboration emails this week because they're like, we would love to collaborate with you. Like, can you like on a TikTok video, 60-second TikTok video? I'm like, first of all, do you know how much time goes into a 60-second TikTok video?
Okay, like I think that's something that people underestimate, like people who are like quote unquote TikTok famous and make TikToks every single day, I'm like, do you know how much time that takes? Like how many takes like they have to do for the video? How much like, I don't know. There's so many little nuances that people, I mean, I think there's a few like one take wonders as I call them, yeah. But you know, for if you're doing it for a company and they need to include something like, I don't know, about the product or about the company, like all these little nuances, that takes freaking time. Like it can take up to like probably like 5 hours. I don't know if you're doing a whole freaking production.
Absolutely. And especially like with the whole, like when you work for a brand on a collaboration in terms of like TikTok, they have a very specific vision of what they want. So they'll give you a brief. And then it's up to you to like take that brief, plan out the content, get the equipment ready, like ring light, get a tripod going, get like the background right, make sure the lighting's good. Then you got to record it. Then you have to edit it, which editing in TikTok is a bitch. I don't know why people think it's so easy. It's so hard for me and I still struggle with it. I have to like sit down literally, like Lennox will nap for like an hour and that whole time I'm just like trying to figure out how to edit in TikTok.
I know, on your little like phone and like, yeah. You're like, I'm like, my thumbs are like too big for this or like what's happening?
Yeah. And then you have to pick the music, which is hard for a lot of brands because you can't just use a trending song. You have to use commercially approved songs. And then you have to use their hashtags. And then you got to do the text. Like it's a whole thing. And people don't realize it. And I think a lot of brands are trying to hit the micro influencer community really hard in terms of reaching out for collaborations, but they also don't want to give them the credit in terms of like money. Because for me, it's like I said, I've turned down 5 collaborations who are like, hey, we'd love to collaborate with you. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, here are my rates. And they're like, oh, well, we just don't have the budget for influencers right now. I'm like, that's not true because like I literally saw you work with this influencer last week and I'm sure she did not do it for free. Like these brands are taking advantage of a lot of micro influencers who are trying to make money for themselves. And I guess just to like your point, like the influencing community, I think is so new, but it's also like starting to get recognized. But I think brands need to recognize it more in terms of like, we need to get paid.
Yeah. And I think like there's a lot of power. I mean, I've worked in PR and marketing before, and you know, there's a lot of power in micro influencers. And I mean, cause if you think about it, like we as micro influencers, we tell our friends, we tell our family, and you know, most likely our friends and family, they want to support us. So they'll go ahead and like try the product or whatever we're talking about. And you know, say that's like about 15 people, but I mean, those 15, they tell other people and it grows and it has like this compounding effect. So I mean, hopefully in the future that like, I don't know, companies are able to like recognize that, you know, micro influencers and like should be paid for their work because they're working just as hard, if not harder.
Well, and I also think too, something that people don't recognize enough is like if someone has 10,000 followers and their engagement rate is like 7%, that's so much better than someone with 300,000 followers whose engagement rate is 1%. And so a lot of, I think what's happening is people are being under-recognized in the micro-influencing space in terms of payment. But I think a lot of these big brands are realizing that like people who have like 10,000 followers or less have a way more engaged following because it's less people, but they're way more engaged. So let's target that. But then they also are like, well, they are only at this amount of following so that we don't really have to pay them as much. And it's like kind of bullshit. But like, if you think about it, like you were saying, like, I think we need to invest in the micro influencers because they have a way more loyal following.
Mm-hmm. No, they definitely do. And like, I mean, hopefully we'll see that change over, you know, the next couple years or so. But, you know, kind of wrapping up, I really want to know what is like one of the biggest or one of your favorite, I guess I can say, life lessons that you've learned, obviously, over the past year. I mean, you gave birth, we had a pandemic, you graduated college, all of these things, you're killing it at, you know, Instagram, TikTok, blogging, all of that. In any realm, what is one thing that you have learned?
Oh, that's a big question. But I think I used to be a very plan kind of person. I think we're kind of programmed to be this way from a young age. You know, you go to elementary school, you go to middle school, you go to high school, you go to college, you get a job, you marry someone. Like you're very programmed to have a linear timeline. and to plan your life. And I think if there's anything that 2020 taught us, it's that can go to shit at any moment.
Yeah, definitely.
And especially me getting pregnant unexpectedly in a pandemic and giving birth in a pandemic and my baby being breached, so I had to get a C-section. Like, everything that could have ever not gone my way in 2020 did. And so I think it's especially important for people our age to hear what I'm saying is like, these little things that don't go your way are probably and usually not the biggest fucking deal. And I think if we stop like being like, oh my gosh, like I got a parking ticket, or oh my gosh, like my trip got canceled this weekend. Like, if we stop getting so wrapped up in the little things that fall through, or like the little struggles in life, and like really, really let them affect our entire day, or like, you know, you run a red light in the morning and you get a park, or you get a ticket for that, and so like your whole day is ruined. That's not productive. Like, things are always going to happen in life that are maybe not to your liking or like don't go your way, but it's about how you react to them. And I think if we all are a little bit less like reactive and proactive in those moments, we can really like start to think more clearly and just like see the more positive things in life. And also, we can also start to like work through things that we maybe didn't plan for easier. We can become more adaptable because we're not like expecting the thing and we're not preparing for the thing that we're expecting so much. Whereas like we're a little bit more flexible and fluid, and we can really like tackle these things because we know that like, okay, even if it's not going my way, I can also do this, and like that's fine too. So I think for anyone listening, like, just don't try and plan your life out 100%. And if things don't go as planned, don't let them ruin your whole day. Don't let them ruin your whole life. Like, be adaptable, really recognize like when things are worth getting upset over and when they're not, and just move forward from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I completely love everything that you said. And, you know, to your point of being adaptable and don't be reactive, be proactive. Like, my dad always taught me, it's not what happens to you, it's how you react to the situation. And I'm a firm believer in that too. And if, you know, 2020 has taught us anything, that's what it's taught us. So I absolutely love that. And, you know, kind of wrapping up, where can everyone find you, Amanda?
So you can find me on Instagram at justmans. You can head over to my blog, justmans.com. You can listen to my podcast, and you can listen to Sarah on my podcast, Just Mans the Podcast. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of the platforms. I use Anchor, and I'm pretty sure they just like blast it out everywhere. I have no idea where they put it, but it's just like, just search me, you'll find it. And then you can also find my TikTok account, which is at @just_mans. And you can go watch my boyfriend who went viral.
Amazing. Actually, that's what I'm about to do after.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and I loved speaking with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, guys, that is the rest of the episode. I hope you loved it just as much as I did. And if you haven't already, be sure to follow me on the gram, subscribe to the podcast, tell your mom, tell your brother, tell your sister, tell your friends and family, tell everyone. And also rate and review if you can. I would absolutely love that. 5 stars. Send it over my way. But other than that, I hope you guys absolutely loved this episode. Be sure to follow Amanda also on all of the socials. That's linked down below in the show notes. But guys, I hope you have a fabulous week, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.